Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, singers and musicians. I appreciate your help tonight.
Well, that was weak. Let's try that again. Amen. Before I get into the scriptures, just a very quick personal note from all the questions I've received after this morning. For those of you that don't know, Jeremy, my son, you all know Jeremy and Reza and Katie. Jeremy received a tremendous job promotion, and which that would all be fine and good, but this job promotion moves him to Texas. So I'm just asking you right now, between now and the end of service, whatever you do, do not mention Texas to my wife. She's not having it. She is under duress. And she wants to shoot me right now. She really does. I'm just... But every time she hears the word change or Texas or anything, she's just not handling it too well. So I don't know what to tell you to do about that. Ignore her or whatever. Taking her grandbabies from us. So, but anyway, we know the Lord is in this thing. We've had many conversations at length about it, so. We thank the Lord for the good that He does in all of our lives. Amen. But we're here to hear the gospel tonight.
Amen.
So I would like you to open your Bibles to the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we will begin reading with verse 16. When you have found that, if you would please stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. I'll give you a moment to find that. Sounds like some of you haven't been in Acts in a while. Acts 16, beginning with verse 16. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass as we went to prayer that a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, and they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Bow your heads with me. Father, long have I sought you, and I pray tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will come, that you will not only anoint the Word of God, but you will anoint this vessel tonight to bring forth your Word exactly the way that you have put it in my heart. I have no notes to go from, so I'm depending, Holy Spirit, upon your touch, upon your leading, upon your guiding with the thoughts and the intents in my heart, in my mind, that you place there. That we will hear this Word by the voice of your Holy Spirit tonight. And that you will speak this Word into our spirits, so that when we leave this house, whatever time we leave tonight, that we leave having been changed in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, in the way that we approach our God. Father, I'm asking it, believing, because you're faithful. For it's in Christ's name I pray. And everyone said amen. And amen. You may be seated. The subject matter that I want to deal with for as long as the Lord will allow here tonight is very simply power in prayer. I want to say it again. Power in prayer. I don't know how you are, but with me, in these days that we live in, knowing the condition of the church and the things that are going on, once in a while I tend to get a little bit jaded when I hear things. And you know, every time you turn a corner or walk across the street, you're always hearing God's doing this, God's doing that, God's doing the other. Truth of the matter is He's not doing most of those things. You hear the phrases, well, God anoints this and God's anointing that and this one's anointed and that one's anointed and what they're doing is... I mean, we throw it around like it's a... And I had heard some things a few days ago, and there were checks in my spirit. And I want to talk about that for a moment. It's important, not just because it's me or anyone else that you know, but we have examples of it here in the Scriptures. Paul and Silas had been ministering the Word of God. And to put it mildly, God had been moving on their behalf. In their mode of ministry, they had gone to a prayer meeting. I know most of you don't know what that is. But they had gone to a prayer meeting, and a group of women had gathered together and were wanting to pray, and they gathered together with Paul and Silas and a few other men that were with them at the time, and they had this great prayer meeting. Nothing per se supernatural happened at this prayer meeting. It was just a good prayer meeting. Prayer is a word that we hear seldom nowadays, but back then it was a staple of everyday life. And Paul and Silas, having been to this prayer meeting, come out of the prayer meeting. A wealthy lady by the name of Lydia had come to them, no doubt by the Spirit of the Lord, and said the words, "If you have judged me to be faithful unto God, would you and Silas come and stay in my house? I will board you, and you can work from here as a base and just whatever the Lord would have them to do." Paul and Silas, everywhere they went, everything they done was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about the ministry of the Word. It was about praying one for another. It was about doing all that God had called them to do. These were men of God, and they were sharing the Word of the Lord. And the Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 16 that there was a young lady that began to follow them around, and she would speak words unto them, and she would say, to them and to the people, as we read in the scriptures, you heard it. These are men of God that do show us the way of salvation. And I want you to pay particular attention to this fact. The fact of the matter was, everything she said was right. Everything that she said was true. There were no deviations in what she said. There was nothing wrong with what she said. But we still have a problem. And what I want to allude to for a moment tonight is, and again, I want to tie it directly to having power in prayer, is that, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, the greatest gift that the church needs in these last days is not necessarily the gift of healing or the gift. We go through all the lists of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that Christ gave unto the church, and we need them all. Let me just say it that way. We need all of them. But the greatest of these, I would say, is probably discernment over and above anything. Because we live in a time where there is so little discernment that is practiced even amongst what we would call the choicest of God's people. I am amazed at people that I would generally think are walking where they should walk and doing what they should do. I consider them to be godly people, and then you hear them say things, or you see them go to things, or things will begin to happen around their life, and you begin to have flags go up in your mind saying, where in the world did that come from, and how did they ever get to this place, and oh, I thought they were different than that. Have you ever said that about anybody? Don't answer that. It just began to weigh heavy on my mind, and I was seeking the Lord for this particular message here tonight, as I always do. I want the mind of the Lord when I come to stand before you. And to be completely transparent, there was nothing, even though I'd experienced these things that was going on, that stood out to me that said, boy, they sure need to hear this. There's a little jest in there. You'll get some of that later. And so I sought the Lord days on end. I was praying, Lord, it's getting closer. You know, it's Wednesday now, and it's Thursday now, and it's Friday now. And Lord, you know, I've prayed and I've opened the Word of God before you, and I've asked you to direct me in the Scriptures and lead me where you would have me to speak to these people. Lord, they're your people. They're not mine. They belong to you. And you know what's in their hearts. You know what's in their minds. You've got to speak to me. I've got to hear from you. And things went on quite some time when, in a moment of stillness in my study before the Lord, I was praying, and the Spirit of the Lord said, just turn over here into the book of Acts. And I turned over, and that's where I landed here in chapter 16, in verse 16. And I began to read this, and I say, first thought that come to my mind was, okay, somebody in the church is full of devils and needs to be delivered. Don't look around at anybody. You don't need to look at anyone. And I thought, okay, Lord, where are we going with this? Because there's a lot of things in the Scriptures that you can talk about, but if you come to a place where you begin to talk about casting out devils, that's probably the place where the rubber meets the road. Most preachers don't want to talk about casting out devils, or if they do, they're so far off the beaten track of Scripture that they're taking things out of context, and they see a demon in everything and all of these things. And so I begin to seek the Lord. Where are we going with this? What are we doing with this? And the Holy Spirit said, just continue reading on a little bit further. And I read on a little bit further, and I read the story of Paul and Silas and how they were bound and thrown into jail, and their feet were made fast in the stocks, and the jailer was scared to death. And so he brought them to a place where they were in the inner prison. And I thought to myself, well, Lord, how in the world did they get from being invited into Lydia's home to stay and meeting at a great prayer meeting with a group of ladies, and God seems to be working every time they turn around. They're ministering the Word, and God is doing things. We would call it in today's world revival, even though it really wasn't revival. God was just moving. And so God was moving, and how did they get from God moving and God doing all of this and God doing all of that and God doing all of the other to all of a sudden they are bound in chains and they're thrown into jail? And as I begin to look at it even more closely, I begin to see exactly what the Lord had been trying to show me with other things that I had heard and experienced earlier on, and begin to understand that the great need of discernment in the church in these last days is so far deeper than anything that I even thought, that it is hindering. And I'm going to say this just the way the Lord gave it to me. I have no notes to go by here on purpose. I want the Lord to lead everything that I say, and so here it is. Part of the reason that we suffer in the modern day church of today in our praying is because when we pray, we have no power when we pray. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. We pray milquetoast kinds of prayers. Soggy, weighted down, good for nothing prayers that really don't have a whole lot of substance to them. And usually the only time we come to the Lord in any kind of serious prayer is when we're in a crisis hour moment and we need God to shake the heavens and shake the earth and do all of this for God to get us out of the trouble that we got ourselves into in the first place. And so this is what our prayer life tends to consist of. And the Lord said the reason that there is not so much power in many of the prayers that come up for me today from the church is because, first of all, they have ceased exercising their discernment by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of them. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit is the greatest unemployment in all of the world. The church has been given the power of the Holy Ghost. The same power. The Bible says if that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, if He dwell in you, He will also quicken your mortal body if the Spirit dwell in you. We claim to be Pentecostal. We claim to be filled with the Spirit. But there is little to no evidence of the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's because, first of all, we lack true discernment. Paul would preach a wonderful word from the Lord, showing unto the people the way of salvation through Jesus Christ and the work that He did on the cross. And this young lady would come up from behind and she would begin to say, "These are the men of God, and they show unto us the way of salvation." True, 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 and true. Yet the Bible says that Paul was grieved in his spirit. I found it odd that Paul was the only one grieved in his spirit. He tells us very plainly in the way the Scriptures are written that Paul was traveling with Silas, and there were other men that were traveling with them, and then there was this group of spiritual women that had gotten together and they had a great prayer meeting, and it all looked good and everything was wonderful, but yet Paul was the only one that was grieved in his spirit. There's something wrong with this. What she's saying is right, and most people in today's church world would say, "Hey, thank God I've got an amen corner over here." And I said that to say this. No matter how much truth is in the content of what you're saying, no matter how factual it may be, the driving force behind everything that we do and everything that we say had better be of the Spirit, or God's going to bring it out. We were going somewhere, and you all, boy, she's going to shoot me for talking about her. Y'all know how quiet my wife is around the rest of you. She is very quiet. That's just her boys take after her. It's just her nature. Total non-confrontational person. Doesn't say a whole lot about things that are going on most of the time. And most of the time tries to shush me when I start saying things. Just that kind of perspective, I guess. But there was something that come across her phone, and you got it. No, I'm not going to say that. Her phone. And we were driving somewhere, and she said something to the effect of, "Man, I just can't believe it." And I'm like, "What? What did I do now, basically? what can't you believe? And she was looking at something on her phone, and it was yet another minister that had fallen from a large church, and it sounded like there were many improprieties and things that were going on. Sin, let's just be candor. Sin was at the door. And I sensed a bit of frustration. And this is we talk about this all the time. There's stuff going on every day, almost every week. We're hearing of another minister that is falling, and we say stuff all the time. And you know, little Miss Quiet Church Mouse doesn't say nothing. Now, all of a sudden, it's disturbed her. And I thought to myself, God, what is it going to take for us to get to a place to where we are not so desensitized by everything that is going on just because it seems to be the new norm? And where are we going to, how are we going to get to the place? And of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, you know, we have been reading this about Paul and Silas, and my mind went to other things. Mine went down from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Noah, and Moses, these men that walked with God, and God did great things in their life, and men like Elijah and Elisha that prayed the kinds of prayers that bring about the kind of change we only dream about, and then we come down to the New Testament, and we see God moving and working and operating, and the question come to my mind, well, what in the world is so different about us compared to them? Is it not the same God? Are we not filled with the same Holy Spirit that they were filled with? Is there some difference? Is there something that we're missing? And just as much as I was saying this, and I began to talk to the Lord about discernment that began to work with a little bit on my wife's end, and say even she is beginning to notice that something's not right here, and it's becoming a major problem, and yet here we are in the midst of these things, and we're trying to be as spiritual as we can be, and yet we seem to be missing something. There's a disconnect between the New Testament church that came out of the book of Acts and the church of today's world, and all that we do and all that we say just doesn't seem to line up with what we are reading and hearing about in the Scriptures, and I've got a problem with that. Like Paul, it grieves my spirit. And the Lord said, I want to show you something here. You asked of me what the difference was between where you are now and what it used to be then. Take a look at the life of Paul and men like him. And I rehearsed it before the Lord. You know, there's Noah and there's Moses. And, you know, the Bible said that Noah was perfect before the Lord. And we've got Moses that had the great burning bush experience, and God spoke to him out of the bush, and God called him to lead the children of Israel out of their 400 years of bondage and all of these things, and brought them unto the Mount of God, and God wrote for him with his own finger the Ten Commandments and all of these great things. And down through the Scriptures, there's man after man after man after man who has experienced God in a great way, and the Lord spoke to me and said, no, look a little bit closer to what you're reading there. And I begin to thumb a little bit closer, and it began to dawn on me that there was a relationship between God and these men. And the moment I begin to light on that, the Spirit of the Lord quickened me very suddenly and said, there it is right there. If you want power in prayer, it begins in relationship. I'm going to say it again. If you want power when you... Not when the preacher prays, not when the evangelist prays, not when the great whatever super duper person comes and prays, but when you pray, when you get before the Lord, when you've got a need that needs to be answered, when you've got an ailment in your body and you need divine healing, when you need God to move in some circumstance or some way in your life, and you pray and you feel powerless, and many times it feels empty, and you're wondering, well, how do I ever get to the place where I can pray like Elijah or Elisha or Daniel or any of these men? God, what's it going to take? And I've told you before, and I'll say it again, you cannot earn it. It's not anything that you can do X, Y, Z. It's not a program. It's not a formula. But it is in a relationship. And that relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that relationship is not something that you pick up on Sunday when you're headed to church and you lay it back down Sunday night on your way home. These men had relationship with God. He was their everything. We live in the age of double lives. We're one way at church or around church people. Another way entirely when we're on the job or in the privacy of our own homes. And the only thing I can say to that is God's had enough. It is not the desire of God that you pray empty prayers. It is not the desire of the Lord that when you come before Him, you come weak-kneed and trembling. I will explain that by the Scriptures. The Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace and make your petitions known unto God. We don't come boldly because we know they're... because we don't measure up. We're constantly measuring ourselves to someone else, some other preacher, some other Christian that we may know of, or maybe somebody we even read about. Constantly making these comparisons, and what a fool's mistake that is. And I was praying about this, and I said, Lord, okay, I'm a preacher. We preach these things all the time. I understand what you mean by relationship. Help me convey it to them. This is the... I don't know if model's the correct word. Maybe just the example of a marriage between a man and a wife. And I'll say it this way. If there is no intimacy, and intimacy takes on several different kinds of meanings, but if there is no intimacy between said husband and wife, then there isn't much of a relationship. And everything, I'm going to say this just plainly, the Lord gave me this to say. Everything that they touch, everything they put their hand to will seem hollow. It will seem powerless. It will seem like there's no substance to what they're trying to do. No matter how noble the thought. Without the relationship, and Tammy, I'm sorry, but I got to say this. I have to use this. It's just the truth. We all know how married couples can be. You know, we don't... we usually are nicer to each other in front of other people than... don't look at nobody and try not to comment. This is not what this is about. But I can be prayed up, and I mean, I've heard from the Lord. And I've had the power of the Holy Spirit walk into my study and light on me and give me things to say and impress my heart with things. But just 5 seconds of a conversation gone awry with my wife can suck out every bit of joy. Listen, and this is the truth. I've experienced it. Every bit of power, every bit of substance that I thought I had going into this thing, whatever it was. And I've had to steal away and get away with the Lord and say, you know, I don't know what went wrong, but it went sideways. And I'd have to come before the Lord, and you know how the Holy Spirit is, like your conscience, although more powerful. And He's sitting on that shoulder, and He says, you see, this is what it means when the Scripture says that you must subject every thought unto the Lord, rather the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Every thought. Did you know you have to do that? Did you know the longer that you embellish thoughts that are not good, that are... cantankerous, that are spiteful, that are bitter, that are vengeful, that are, well, I'll show them, and, well, I'll just get back at them. You know, every single one of those thoughts has to be subjected to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What are you saying? You're saying that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with us that? I'm telling you even more so. Even more deeply than that. And He wants to bring you to a place to where there's no more conversations that go sideways. Why? So that when you stand before Him, you can do so in boldness. Because you've not let that other one that you love so dearly, except for those 5 seconds where the conversation went awry. You know I'm telling you the truth. But God wants even that to be perfected. Did you hear me? God wants to do away with all malice. Malice is robbing you of power. God wants to do away with all strife. Strife is robbing you of power. God wants to do away with all bitterness, because bitterness is robbing you of power. God wants to do away with all vengeance, because vengeance is robbing you of power. God wants to do away with all of the getting back. God wants to do away with all of the unforgiveness. I don't care who's at fault, it don't matter. God wants to do away with all the unforgiveness, because the unforgiveness that you're carrying around is robbing you of power. To where when you come before the Lord and you've got a genuine need that you must bring to the Lord, and you know that God is your only answer, and yet you stand before Him and your knees are shaken and your hands are shaken and doubts are going through your mind, and you're not sure whether or not God is going to answer this prayer. You're not sure whether God is going to do this or do that. And like we talked about this morning with the song, bigger than all of my problems, bigger than all of my fears, bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. We can say those things and we can sing those things, but because we have carried around bitterness and envy and strife and malice and vengeance and all of these things that we carry around with us without bringing light to it, and the Holy Spirit says you're not ever going to come to the place where you know what true power in prayer is, because you've carried around all of these things. Paul and Silas were taken in the midst of preaching the truth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why should they suffer? Shouldn't it be the woman that the demon spirit was cast out of? Shouldn't it been those that were propping her up with funds? That shouldn't they be the, well, surely in a just world, they should be the ones that are stripped of their clothes. They're the ones that should have many stripes laid upon them. They're the ones that should suffer all of these things that Paul and Silas suffered. And you know how we are when we get to looking at our circumstances. Just don't mind me for a moment or two. I'm just going to look at the floor or up at the ceiling a little bit. I'm not here to call you out. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But the Lord spoke it into my spirit when I was preparing this word, and He said, far too long and far too often do my people get their eyes on their circumstances. And because they've not been in the kind of relationship with me that they need to be in with me, and then they've got these negative circumstances that are going on around them, and their mind begins to be flooded with doubts and fears and doubts and fears that lead to their own personal failures and shortcomings, and before long the whole ship has snowballed into this big troublesome thing, and then you run into a place where you're in a crisis hour situation with God, and you're desperate desperately crying unto Him to do something when all along God's wanting you to be in a right relationship with Him. And He's wanting you to come and bring at the foot of the cross all of the envying, all of the strife, all of the malice, all of the bitterness, all of the problems that you don't think God sees, but He knows about every one of them. And He wants you to lay them down at the foot of the cross. And He wants you to receive unto yourself the blood of Jesus Christ that atones for all sins, not just the adultery, not just the murder, not just the stealing, not just this or that that we name as so big of things. But God wants to forgive you of bitterness, and God wants to forgive you of envying, and God wants to forgive you of the strife that you have been causing because you can't get out of yourself. And He wants you to be in right relationship with Him. Why is that important? Because Paul and Silas were about to go into prison. And what would happen in that prison was a direct reflection of relationship. I need to say that again. What happened to them in prison was a direct reflection of their relationship with God. You say, well, brother, that don't sound too good. Oh, no, no, no. It's very good. You see, we tend to look at anything that is contrary to us and we immediately want God to take it away from us. And we don't want to have to do or endure that, and we don't want to have to go through those things. Some of the greatest moments that this old preacher has ever experienced and some of the greatest moves of God in my personal life have come through prison hours. Moments where metaphorically I was like Paul and Silas after just doing what was right. Things went south and I found myself metaphorically, I've never been in a jail, but metaphorically I was in prison. And my feet were made fast in the stocks. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, now look at this. And I looked at it. The Bible says that after they were thrown into the inner prison and their feet were made fast with the stocks, they had just been stripped naked. You understand that? That's what that means when they rip their clothes off them. And then they beat them. And the Bible says they laid many stripes on them. We would be, oh God, the embarrassment of standing in. I get embarrassed when I wear a suit that's way too small for me, like this morning, and it shows how fat I am. You understand what I mean? Let's not say amen. And let alone to be stripped of all of your clothes. The public humility, the shame. And then in front of all of these people that you have just preached the power of God to, they begin to cover you in stripes. But I'm after something. The reason it was different for them than it is for us is because they had right relationship. And the Bible says at midnight. Listen, when the Bible is specific, pay attention. Because the Bible does not say anything just haphazardly. There's a reason for it. The Bible says at midnight. To them, midnight was what we call the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night. This is the part of the night, and you've heard us preach it before, that the enemy works the strongest in. I have no doubt in my mind that as Paul and Silas were standing there, probably wincing from every movement of having so many stripes laid upon them and the pain and the suffering that they were in, I have no doubt there were things that might have tried to come into their mind, but not like you and I would today, because they had relationship. And right relationship with God makes a difference in how you approach God when you are going through imprisonment and having many stripes laid upon you. I'm after something here. Bible says, and about midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I don't want to just glance over that. Paul and Silas prayed. Let's say it again. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. How can you sing praises unto God when you're covered in stripes? How can you sing praises unto God when your whole world has just come crashing down? How can you sing praises unto God when all of these things are going contrary and all you did was obey? And we're going to get to that word in just a minute. Obedience is such a powerful word and it has everything to do with your power in prayer. But for this instance, they were in jail. They were stripped and they were beaten and they were bloodied and they were hurting. But at midnight, because they had right relationship with God, the Bible says that Paul and Silas prayed. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that jail cell. I don't know what they prayed, but whatever they prayed, the rest of the jailers heard them. I don't know what they sang. I don't know what song it was, but whatever it was, the rest of the jailers heard them. And I don't know what you're going through or what's going on in your life, but if you'll come to a place where you are in right relationship with God, that when you pray, I promise you, somebody's going to hear what you're praying. And when you sing praises in your darkest moment, in your hour of suffering, and yet you can lift up your voice and give God a praise and sing a song of praise unto Him, I'm here to tell you tonight, the Lord sent me here just to tell you this. You want power in prayer? Learn how to pray. Learn how to sing in your darkest moments and give God glory. He will always respond. Every jailer heard them. Every convict, every imprisoned person heard everything they said. Every word that they prayed, it must have been some kind of prayer. And I begin looking at that and I'm saying to myself, okay, Lord, they prayed and they sang praises and what a beautiful moment. And the Lord took my mind back to something a number of years ago that God was doing at a time in ministry in another church where God was moving so strongly and so powerfully. And He brought my mind back to this one particular service and He said this, He said, I want you to remember what happened in that service. And I remember this one particular service that we had been in a number of weeks of revival and God had really truly moved. And we were as close to God as I could ever remember being close to God. And every day and every moment just seemed to be about the Lord. And we walked into this one service one night and before another word could be said or before the preacher could preach the message, the power of God came down in that place. And in one moment's time, it didn't just happen here or there or with your most spiritual people, but it happened to everybody. Every single body in the building lay face on the ground. And there was an august presence of God that had come down and you could feel the palpitations of the presence of God moving as He would woo back and forth from one side of the church to the other, and nobody lifted up their head, and nobody got up and ran to the bathroom, and nobody got up and ran to get a drink, and nobody moved a muscle in doing anything, but we all laid there prostrate before the Lord as the power of God came down. And when we left that place that night, you could feel the strength of God. There wasn't hardly anything that you could pray and God would move. My mind went back to this, and I remember a time and we called her name was Sister Parks, and I don't guess I really knew what her real name was. She's just Sister Parks, 93 years old. And godly woman, but had fallen on some difficult health times, and this was a Sunday night by this time, and she had spent Sunday morning in the hospital and had been in there for several days. And she would tell me this after the service. We got to going in the service and I was leaning heavily upon our relationship with God, and God would just move and just the slightest nudge and we were responsive. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. When the Holy Spirit moves like that and you're in right relationship, the Holy Spirit doesn't have to give you a message. He can just nudge you. And there's a response. And I don't know what was fixing to happen, But I was sitting in my seat and the power of God had, was just there. And the Holy Spirit nudged me. And I didn't know any better than to just obey. I'm going to say it again. I didn't know any better than to just obey. He nudged me and I wasn't a whole lot of people up there in the altar. But I went up. I got up out of my seat because the Holy Spirit nudged me and said, go up and start praying for people. I want you to begin to lay hands carefully on people. And I want you to begin to pray for them. And here's this young snot nose of a preacher boy. And I get up out of my seat and I'm just obeying the Lord. And I don't know what happened from the time I left my pew to the time I got to that altar. I was only three rows back. But something had happened. The floodgates had opened. People had flooded that altar area. And I remember moving down to one end. Would have been this end over here. And a few rows back sat Sister Parks. I missed her in the morning. I looked for godly people and she was one. And she very shakily made her way very slowly down to the altar. Normally the preachers would have flooded around her. Everybody wanted, you know, get under the spout where the glory's poured out kind of thing. But I just stood there almost frozen. And I remembered it when I was preparing this. And the Lord said, do you remember that moment where you felt just frozen and you stood there in the altar waiting on Sister Parks to get her way down there? He said, that's what happened to every prisoner in jail. He said, when Paul and Silas prayed and sang, the power of God was there. And he said, every prisoner was paralyzed. Scriptures will bear it out here in a second. And I remember standing just paralyzed at the front of this altar, and Sister Parks finally made her way down, and she was so light I was afraid to touch her. But I reached out my hand because the Lord said to do it. I had to obey. And I reached out my hand and I just barely touched her on the top of her head. And you'd have thought a bolt of lightning came through the building and struck her dead where she was. I mean, this 93-year-old woman fell backward to the ground with a jerk that I'm, you know, I've seen people do some weird stuff they thought was spiritual. And anyway, that's another message. But the power of God hit her. And she laid on the floor, and at first my heart went, bruh-roh. Did I hurt her? I'm still paralyzed. Pretty soon I felt the easing of the Holy Spirit, and I went over, and she's still on the ground. She's not saying a word, not doing a thing. But I reached down my hand. Pretty soon she began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God moved. She would get up to her feet in just a few moments' time and go back and sit down in her seat. And I thought, oh, what in the world was that all about? Till she come up to me after service. And she said, Brother Cooley, you don't know this because I wasn't here this morning. I've been in the hospital for days. And I was in the hospital this morning. But she said, while I laid in my hospital bed, the Holy Spirit quickened me. Said, get up and get out of here. So without checking out, she got up and left her hospital room and made it to church in time. She said, I had all manner of things wrong with me. But she grabbed me by the hands. And when the saint of God grabs you by the hands, you just stand still and take whatever's coming. And I stood there. And she said, you'll never know this. She said, but I was just simply obeying the Lord when I saw you standing at the altar. And the Lord said, go up and be prayed for. I didn't know that till afterwards. And she said, I don't know what it is. She said, but the moment before your hand even touched me, she said, there was a power that surged through my body. And she said, all of those health problems that I had, when I leave church tonight, I have none of them. She said, I want to thank you for your obedience unto the Lord. The Lord said to me, do you remember that? Oh, I remember. He said to me, the power in prayer comes through relationship and obedience. Relationship and obedience. Now, I don't know where you are with the Lord. And I don't know I cannot gauge per se, unless the Lord shows me things. But I can't gauge your relationship with God. I don't know where you stand. I don't know what you do when you approach Him. I don't know if crisis hour praying is the only kind of praying you know. I don't know if you know what it is to sing songs when everything is going wrong. I got to tell you this real quick. I was reminded of this again when the Holy Spirit was taking me through this. We were in another meeting and we were praying, and God began to move, and there were some people that had some physical ailments that needed a touch from the Lord, and they had come down to the altar during this service, and we were laying hands on them and we were praying, and God was moving, and there was a guy that was sitting towards the back, and I knew him very well. Just knew him very well. We played church softball together. He was a high school coach. He was a very good person. But he had a problem. He had a rotator cuff issue that he'd had for years, and for years he couldn't lift his arm up over that. And I remember this, I'll never forget it, but we were praying for people and laying hands, and God was moving. And I looked back, and that man's eyes were closed. Both of his arms were stretched straight up to heaven. He didn't realize it. But in his moment, he was praying and singing praises unto God. And the power, without even praying for himself, the power of God touched him. What are you saying? Well, every prisoner that was in that jailhouse was touched by the power of God, and they weren't praying for themselves, I'm sure. When he was done, you could hear his yell for blocks as he shouted his praise unto God. People are standing around him like, what the world is going on with you? And he didn't wait for a microphone. He just shouted it out. He said, I haven't been able to raise that arm in years. He said, but while I was praying for someone else, because the Holy Spirit told me to pray for someone else, while I was praying for them, he said, I felt God move. He said, and when I come to, both of my hands were raised straight up in the air. And he said, you got to understand, I ain't been able to raise that arm more than here in years. Relationship and obedience. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. God sent an earthquake. Not all over town, but right to that jail. Read your scriptures. God sent an earthquake. Imagine them prisoners standing there. They're already incapacitated by this presence of God that they don't know if it's God or what it is. All they know is this guy was down here praying and singing, but something got a hold of them and they couldn't move. And then all of a sudden the ground beneath their feet began to shake, and the Bible says that every door came open. I'm after something. The Bible says every door came open. I'm talking about power in prayer. And when the shaking was done, not only did every door open, you would have thought there would have been a mass exodus, right? Jail cell, doors open. But the Bible says everyone's bands were loosed. When's the last time that you prayed and you felt like God sent a quake and opened every door and broke loose every chain of bondage that was on everybody around you? I know most of us can say, well, I've never done anything like that. That's the problem. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you is the same Holy Spirit that dwelled in Paul and Silas. They were like men of like passions, just like you and I are. There is no difference between them and us, except the difference is they walked in right relationship and they obeyed the Lord. When God said to move, they moved. When He said run, they ran. When He said do, they did. And because of relationship and because of obedience, when the time came and stripes were laid upon them and it looked really bad, God sent an earthquake and every door flew open wide and everyone's bands were loose. I don't know if you get what I'm saying to you tonight, but I want to pray that kind of a prayer that not only is the person that I'm praying for getting touched, but everybody within a circumference begins to have their bands loosed and their doors flung open wide and they were free to go. Free to go. But here's the beauty of it. They didn't move a muscle. I don't know that I would have either. They didn't move a muscle. Something strange is going on. We feel this strange thing. We're paralyzed. And then everything began to shake and every door came open. And every bondage that we had is now laying on the ground. And the jailer comes in. And the jailer thinks to himself, he sees all the doors open, chains laying everywhere. Oh, I'm in trouble. You see, when a jailer was charged to keep prisoners, if they didn't keep those prisoners, the governor would have their heads the next morning. The jailer sprung in and he saw all of these things going on and he thought surely to himself, I'm going to die. But Paul, again, relying on relationship and obedience under the Spirit of God, spoke out to him in the middle of that jail cell and said, jailer, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. You see, when God moves, even though it would have been a wonderful thing to see them bolt out of that prison and run free, but when God moves, God does everything right. Oh, hallelujah. I got to say that again. When God truly moves, God does everything right. He is perfect. He is perfect in all of His ways. Everything that God does, He does right. He said, we're all here. Don't do yourself harm. It's the beauty of God. Before that night was out, not only did that jailer, but that jailer's whole family. Listen to me. Before they were not. But before that night was out, that jailer and his whole family would give their hearts to the Lord. I'm after something here. I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to take it as unkind because it's not. But I want to say it to you this way. It does not matter what you're going through. God has a plan for it all in the end. If Paul and Silas have to endure stripes so that a jailer and his family might come to know the Lord. You say that? That's kind of harsh. What do you mean it's harsh? Didn't the Bible teach us and tell us that we were to know the Lord? And how are we supposed to know Him? I see wheels turning. Huh? How are we supposed to know Him? And in the fellowship of His sufferings. We've had it easy here in the United States of America. But in case you haven't been listening to your news, those days are numbered. Oh, not from an invading army with mass weapons, but from the army of evil that is beginning to sweep across this world. And Christians and Jews are in their crosshairs. Do you not see the rising tide of communism here in the United States of America? If you don't, you better pull your head out of the sand and start looking around. And I don't know if you understand what that means, but communism's greatest feat, their greatest battle, is to do away with the people of God. Do you hear me? And I warn you here and now, you had better get to a place where this message tonight follows you every day you go. Because you're going to have to learn to rely on relationship and obedience. We're going to be put in situations where we are going to need the power of God when we pray. And that's why the Lord said, take no thought what you shall say unto them when you are delivered before them. For the Lord will give you what to say in that hour. You understand?
Hallelujah.
Now, how are you going to be able to do that if you're not in right relationship with God and you don't know what it is to obey His every whim? You're not going to be in a place where in that moment you can feel confident enough to stand up and just trust that God's going to give you exactly what to say and exactly what to do. We've heard the clamorings for years now about last day revivals, and so many preachers have made off with this idea, and I'm not so sure scriptures bear that out, that kind of a revival. But I'll tell you what the scriptures do bear out. The kind of a revival that comes to what the Bible says is every one single blade of grass. You understand what that means? That means it's not a corporate thing. You can talk to these preachers that are here. And we can both tell you that you surely you know that the day of corporate revival like we used to have in the Assemblies of God and we used to have in the Church of God and we used to have in the Four Square and we used to have in Church of Christ, many other movements that God has moved in down through the years. And there is not a single one of them that has not gone the way of the dodo. And they have lost their way with God. Listen to me clearly. God is not going to use them to bring revival. But the revival that God is going to bring is with every one blade of grass. It's going to begin with you and with me and with you and with me and with you. And with me, as God moves upon us and we learn to have relationship and obedience with the Lord, we will then come to know what true power in prayer is. And we can pray as Elijah prayed so long ago, a little 60-word prayer. And fire came down from God out of heaven and licked up the sacrifice and the altar and the water and everything that was there. God displayed His great power that day, just like He did for Paul and Silas in the jail cell when they prayed and sang praises. God displayed His power, and the doors flung open and the bands were loosed and everybody was free and nobody went anywhere, and the jailer and his family got saved. What are you saying? That's the power of God in motion. That is the Spirit of God at work. He is constantly striving to save that which is lost, and He'll do it through many varied ways, even stripes and imprisonments and fears and doubts and being totally frozen where you stand and not being able to do anything about it. But if you've got relationship and you've got obedience, there is nothing that God cannot accomplish in your life. That's why we sing the song, Bigger Than All of My Mountains. Because He is bigger than all of my mountains. He's bigger than all of my fears. I look at things right now, and I'll just be honest with you. My son and them moving off to Texas with his sister and them that are already over there, and they kidnapped all of our grandkids. And how is God going to work all of that out? I ain't got the slightest. And I had people asking me this morning on my way out, "Well, brother, does that mean you're going to go and you're going to follow them?" No. I don't follow men. That doesn't mean I'm not going to go one day. I'm just going to leave it to the Lord. And I told everybody the same thing that I'm telling you here tonight, just so I don't have to repeat it 200 times. And that is this. I'm not going anywhere until God makes a way. I told the Lord, it's been 20 some odd years ago when we left the church denomination that we were a part of and had pastored for many years. And I told the Lord then, and I've had a lot of trials between then and now, and we've had a lot of churches go through our hands, and we've had a lot of appointments go through our hands, but I made God a promise then, and I hold to it true today, that I will not go anywhere unless I am led by the Holy Spirit, and I will not do anything unless I am led by the Holy Spirit, and I will not go anywhere unless He leads me by His Holy Spirit. And if God's going to lead me by His Holy Spirit, then He's going to make a way where I don't see a way. Because it's hard to see a way when we think to ourselves there isn't one. But I'm here to tell you tonight, but when we get to a place when we're in right relationship with God and in living in obedience unto the Lord, then God will begin to move. And if you don't think that God will move all of heaven and earth just for you, then you don't know God. Because there's a jailer and his whole family that can testify to the contrary tonight. Their day started out much different. But God shook heaven and earth for them. And before the night was done, they were saved. Brought into the ark of safety. I'll say, we do a lot of praying, I think. But not out of relationship. And not necessarily out of obedience. And because of this, and this is just what the Lord told me, and I know God doesn't lie. There's been a lot of people wondering about why they're so weak when they pray. And I'm not looking at anybody, because He didn't say any names in specific. But He said a lot of them have been praying. They have no confidence. When they pray. And so they reach out to somebody they deem spiritual and they're trying to rely on them. And in the process, we're missing it. Why? Because God wants you to be in right relationship with Him. God wants you to be in obedience unto Him. So that when you come boldly before the throne of grace, you can make your petitions known unto the Lord. And because you're in right relationship and you're in right obedience, then comes into play the scriptures. You can ask what you will. And it will be done unto you by my Father which is in heaven. How many times have we tried to quote that word of scripture when we're praying about things because we really want this thing, whatever it is? Those scriptures are born out of right relationship and obedience with God. Just because you want something. And I don't care how spiritual you are. Just because you want something doesn't mean you're going to get it even if you pray. I hope I didn't just burst your bubble. But I'm here to tell you, true prayer, power, comes out of relationship and obedience. Would you stand to your feet? You're the one that took so long testifying. Oh, we have to have this word. Why? Because we have to have right relationship. And we've got to stop carrying around our garbage. Because the garbage we're carrying around is robbing us of power with God. Power when we pray. Wouldn't you like to get to a place where you feel confident in praying a prayer of power unto God without having to reach out and call a preacher? Without having to reach out and call some spiritual person you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But it's altogether different when you are in a place where you feel like you can come boldly before God's throne. And you can tell Him, Lord, I certainly don't deserve this, but I've been in right relationship. And I'm walking in obedience unto You. And because of that, I need You to move on my behalf in this situation. And I stand here tonight without fear of telling you that if you will bank on your relationship and your obedience unto God, God has never, God will never fail. Never. If He's got to send an earthquake, Brother Darrell, to your job site. Do you hear me? If God's got to send an earthquake to your job site to rattle the cages of whatever kind of leadership they are, if God's got to do that and make doors open. My wife said to me, I don't know how this is going to work. Now, listen, the Bible says that He's the kind of God that opens doors that no man can open, and He closes doors that no man can close. So it does not matter what your limitations are. And it does, listen to me, it does not matter what your circumstances are. Is there anything too hard for God? I'm going to say it again. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything standing here tonight that you can say, I'm just not sure God could do that? I'm here to tell you. That's why you need to lay it down at the altar tonight. Whatever fear, whatever doubt, whatever bitterness, whatever envying, whatever strife, whatever malice, whatever vengeance, whatever unforgiveness that you have been carrying around, I don't care what it is. I don't need to know about it. You just need to know tonight that God knows about it. And you need to bring that thing and you need to lay it down at the altar and you need to leave it there. There's a difference in bringing something unto the Lord and laying it up on the altar. But by the time you hit the back door, you've already picked it up and you've carried it out with you. Leave it at the altar. Leave it at the altar. He's the only one that's got the power to do anything about it. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And if there's something that I've said to you tonight that has touched something in your heart, I'm just going to ask you, I know it's late, but get out of your pew. And I'm going to ask you to come down to this altar. You're not coming to a man, but you're coming to God. And you're going to lay whatever that thing is. I don't know what it is. I don't care. But you're going to lay that thing down. You've been carrying it around. You've been carrying it around. You've laid it down, but you picked it back up. You laid it down, but you picked it back up. You're going to come tonight. And you're going to be obedient unto the Lord. And you're going to lay that thing down. And you're going to make right your relationship with God. Right now. If you're needing God to move,